Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And a quick program note as we get started, don't forget to join us for a special Facebook Live, which is going to be a dialogue on prayer. All of that's taking place tomorrow, Lord willing, Thursday, May 18th, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So kind of figure that out on the basis of where you are in the country or the world. If you can't catch the broadcast, the Facebook Live broadcast live on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, you can watch the rebroadcast, which will be uploaded shortly after its conclusion. Also want to mention that we're in the process of creating new digital media content, including podcasts, vlogs, live events online, and much, much more. The best way to stay informed is to head to the Bible Answer Man Facebook page and give us a like, rate us, review us. These simple acts will not only ensure that you stay informed, but it will immensely expand our reach and is one of the many ways for you to join us as we stand shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. As just mentioned by Randy, we're going to go to your calls live in just a few moments. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. But as sort of a prologue to what I'm going to be doing on Facebook Live, I want to say something about prayer. Because in many ways, I think it's important for you and I to recognize that prayer ought to be its own reward. Prayer is not a magic formula to get things from God. Communicating with God in prayer is itself the prize. And while the response we get is not always the response we want, it is always the best response. And let me illustrate that with one of my favorite stories. Now, this is a story that I retell in my book, The Prayer of Jesus, subtitled Secrets to Intimacy with God. It's a story about Johnny Erickson Tada. 30 years ago, some of you who know this story may want to have it refreshed in your mind. 30 years ago, at least when I was writing the book, now it's a lot longer, she became a quadriplegic, and that as a result of a diving accident. And so Johnny was stuck, and she is one of my heroes of the faith, she was stuck in a geriatric ward of a state institution in Maryland. And she told me how she would listen for hours as her friends would read her stories from the Bible. Her favorite was the story of a man who had been an invalid for 38 years. And Jesus encountered him lying by the pool of Bethesda, and he healed him. And as a result of the story, Johnny began picturing herself lying on a straw mat by the pool of Bethesda. For hours on end, Johnny would plead with God for a miraculous healing. It seemed to her in those days that God did not reward her prayer with any kind of response or answer. But 30 years later, she received a revelation of sorts. This was during a trip to Jerusalem with her husband, Ken. Ken is a great guy, by the way. I love Ken. He was pushing her wheelchair down the steps of the Via Dolorosa. And he made a left turn at the Sheep's Gate, They walked by St. Anne's Church and ran straight into the pool of Bethesda. And while resting her arms on the guardrail overlooking those now dry and dusty ruins, Johnny's mind flashed back to those 30 years earlier, when she had pictured herself lying on a mat at that very place. And then suddenly, like a thunderbolt across a clear blue sky, she was struck by the realization that God had not given her the response she was looking for. He had given her a far better one. And overwhelmed with emotion, she began to thank God for not healing her. Imagine that. Thank God for not healing? Why? Because God had miraculously turned her wheelchair into her secret place, a place in which she could commune with God. And that day, Johnny might well have cried out, "O wheelchair, I bless thee," for it was in the prison of her wheelchair that she learned the secret of communing with God. She's no longer able to run here and there with perfectly formed limbs. And so she spent hours practicing the principles of prayer, and as her life grew ever richer and deeper, she was enabled to bless multitudes out of the overflow of a life spent in the secret place. It was in her secret place that she discovered that there were more important things than walking. And so, as she grew in intimacy with her Creator, she learned to bless the very cross that had crafted her character. And I suppose this is one of the things that the Bible communicates over and over again, that in the midst of suffering, we see the face of God. It is transformative in that we not only through our cross know about Christ, but there comes that intimacy of relationship that can only be developed through the investment of quality time. Well, I'm going to shuttle back and forth between the live callers today and those who have asked Facebook questions. We appreciate each and every one of you. And yesterday I didn't get to many Facebook questions, if any, I can't remember, but today I definitely will. In fact, I'm going to start out with one, and it's from Alistair, who says, this looks like quite a long prologue. But anyway, she says, "Okay, Hank, thank you. A very good afternoon to you and a very good afternoon to all your listeners. I want to ask a question pretty close to my heart. I started off in a very good teaching church, and I certainly received a lot of good instruction. Later on in life, during college and university, I drifted. Somewhere I had gotten the idea of living on cheap grace and the idea that all my sins, past, present, and future, were forgiven. Consequently, I spent many, many years living as I should not have, breaking every commandment by either thought, word, or deed. Well, now I'm back, again by His grace, and all is forgiven, but I do have this haunting feeling that I have lost all my crowns and rewards, and I'm going to arrive at heaven's door smelling of burnt wood, straw, and stubble. With a few short years left, what can I do to change this? Although heaven will be fulfilling, I don't want to spend it metaphorically cleaning the bathrooms when my experience could have been so much more. I've read many commentaries, but for some reason, focus has always pointed to salvation itself or possibly deeds as a proof of faith, and very little to this idea of crowns and rewards as part of biblical theology. So thank you in advance for your answer. Brother, I'm looking forward to meeting you one day, either in this world or the next. Remind me to buy you a few beers. I owe you a great deal. I love the few beers. Well, anyway, Alistair, here's the answer to your question. The Bible is replete with information on rewards. When I think about the Lord Jesus Christ saying in the very last chapter, of the Bible, saying, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, and I'll give to everyone according to what he has done." Or so often I quote the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's no foundation other than Jesus Christ, but on that foundation you can build. And the day of the Lord will show what kind of materials you used. And just as Alistair said, if you use inferior materials, they would be consumed by the breath of the Lord's mouth. I think these are very, very heavy warnings. And that is to use our time, to use our talent, to use our treasure, not to lay up treasures that are temporary, but rather treasures that are eternal, to order our life around the divine. I am so passionate about the answer to that question. I've written about it in 3 books, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, a book called Resurrection, and my latest book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near Death Experiences. So great question, and a very appropriate question. We want to work for those things that are eternal. And even today, as many people fast, Wednesdays we remember the betrayal of Judas. And so we fast. Why? Because we want to be very clear that we are not betraying Jesus, but rather that we are ambassadors for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that we are about the Father's business, which means that we give alms to the poor. Every time we fast, we think of that very thing. It's inextricably woven together with the fast, prayer and giving alms. So this is a great reminder that Christ is involved in teaching us about making this life count for all eternity. Let's go to a live caller, Hunter, listening in Tacoma, Washington. Hi, Hunter.
Hi there.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
Good, good, thank you. My question was regarding an apostle. I went to a conference last week, and there's a guy named Apostle John Shi. I was wondering if you knew about him.
Well, I'm not real familiar with him. I do know a little bit about him as a result of our research department. He is a guy that's known by various names or monikers, like Wise Man, John Key. His spiritual biography is filled with multiple accounts of supernatural visions and dreams, which ultimately led him into his ministry of healing and deliverance and prophecy. He claims many miracles and deliverances. He was discipled under T.B. Joshua, who claimed to have spent 15 months in his mother's womb. I mean, look, all of this stuff is red flag for those who have discernment. These people come and go. I followed them for years. I wrote a book about these kinds of men, these kinds of people who call themselves apostles, and sometimes even say that they're greater than the apostles that came before them, greater than Peter or John or James, greater than the Apostle Paul. Some of them have the temerity to say if those apostles would come back from the dead, they'd stand in line to get their autograph, because the miracles that we're doing in the presence far exceeds the miracles that have been done in the past. The problem is there's very little validity. These guys come and go. Well, I'm amazed when I look through my book, Counterfeit Revival, even the revised edition, at how many of the people that I was writing about then are no longer on the scene today. Some of them have made their fortune and they've moved on. The problem is they've left in their wake many, many people who have a completely distorted worldview. So sometimes people think that I'm speaking out against these people because I have something against them. I don't. I really don't. I pray that the Lord will bless and heal them in the proper sense. What I'm concerned about is what I've seen throughout the entirety of my ministry. You have all these people that flock into the front doors of these auditoriums, but what we seldom see is the people that fall out the back door and do not know what to think or believe anymore. In fact, I think it's appropriate in light of this question that I mentioned Johnny Erickson Tada. She was brought to Catherine Kuhlman healing extravaganzas long before Benny Hinn. They would wheel her in as a stage prop, and when everybody's attention was diverted, those wheelchairs were back out on the cold cement floors outside of the main extravaganza. And Johnny would say she'd sit there and wonder, does God not love me? Well, I told you the rest of the story. Today, her wheelchair has become her crown because out of her suffering, she has touched the lives of multiplied millions of people around the world. Be back in just a bit with more answers to your questions. Number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll go to Facebook questions as well.
Because much of CRI's mission consists of equipping Christians with what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith, we think his new book, Forensic Faith, is a must-read. Wallace's book is a valuable and practical resource for every Christian who wants to know that his or her faith makes good sense and who wants to engage with seekers and skeptics based on the solid evidence for their faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense, and we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. All Christians, but especially ones in college, must know what they believe and why they believe it if they have any hope of surviving with their faith intact. The reason, according to J. Warner Wallace, is obvious. College is almost like an atheistic ambush. Christians often enter the university arena totally unaware of the danger until it is too late. And that's why Wallace has written Forensic Faith, a homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable evidential Christian faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith, as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I have never worked harder in my life. I get to the office sometime around 6 o'clock in the morning. I leave 7 o'clock at night or later. And I do that because I want to invest my time in the work of the kingdom. And I feel so privileged to be able to invest my life in the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. And I say that in prologue to saying that I hope many of you will continue joining CRI's support team. These are people that are so important, so foundational to the work that we do. I think of Michael. He's from Arizona, and he just signed up for supporting the ministry at $100 a month, and Daniel Washington for $20 a month, and Stephen from North Carolina, $25 a month, and Jason, New York, $50 a month, and so forth. I'm personalizing books every single day, or virtually every single day, to people who join CRI's monthly support team. Sometimes I personalize the book directly to the person, sometimes to a family member or a friend. But these are people who are standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. The outreach of the Christian Research Institute continues to expand, and I'm delighted that even though I have a very significant disease, that God has given me the strength to continue on with this work, and my family and my friends, my coworkers have been such a support to me. The hugs that they give me, my wife came in and she must have given me more hugs than I can count, and a lot of advice, exactly what I'm supposed to eat and all of these kinds of things. And my kids do the same thing, and my colleagues, and I'm a very blessed man. And again, all of you, we have electronic hugs back and forth because I can't actually touch you, but I feel your love, and I read your wonderful notes on Facebook, and I'm, again, deeply grateful. I want to go to the Facebook questions. Joel next. He is asking a question. Let me see if I can make sense of this. No hell does exist yet. The lake of fire will then be the result of sin. It is the second death, which there's no coming back from. That death is permanently the end of all unbelievers. Well, actually, Joel, that's not the case. You know, Jesus said, and I've quoted this probably as much as anything I've quoted on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I hope it's in everybody's memory trace. Jesus said, do not be amazed at this. The time is coming when all who are in the grave will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. So everlasting life has a correspondent, and that is everlasting destruction. And what that means, and Paul describes this as being shut out from the presence of God, from his goodness and his glory and his grace, and all of that is transcendently significant for us to understand. If we are participants in the kingdom, if we are friends of Christ, as it were, if we are those who have experienced redemption, and we are now experiencing his graces within the context of healthy, well-balanced churches, then we are those who are going to live with Christ for all eternity. But if we are not, if we are followers of the Prince of Darkness, we will get exactly what we want. Those who are followers of the Prince of Darkness don't want anything to do with the Prince of Light. So God does not rub out the crowning jewels of his creation, but he does sustain them apart from his goodness and his glory and his grace. He does not drag them kicking and screaming into heaven, because then heaven really wouldn't be heaven. So again, Joel, I think that what we need to do when we ask questions and we hear the answers to those questions is make certain that we test the answer in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. Let me take one more Facebook question. Carrie, listening, I don't know where Carrie is listening, doesn't say. But what does say, and it's kind of a clue to me, I love this salutation, Christ is risen. This is what we say within the context of our community of faith. We greet each other with the words, Christ is risen. And the response, of course, is he is risen indeed, or Christ is risen indeed. Carrie is asking, does the Old Testament have any references to the Trinity? And certainly it does. I mean, from the very beginning, it is in veiled form. So in Genesis chapter 1, God says, let us create man in our image. In the image and likeness of God, therefore, we are created. The us there is not a plural of majesty, but it is, although veiled, it is an allusion to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who have dwelled in loving relationships for all eternity, long before the universe was created. Now, throughout the Old Testament, you also have references to the Father in many different ways, including theophanies, where God appears in human form. Obviously, we can never see God and live. We can never comprehend the ineffability of God, and that will be so in eternity, but we can experience the graces of God, and God may be seen through the person and work of Jesus Christ being the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. We also see Jesus Christ as the angel of Yahweh. I'm listening to the through the Old Testament right now. I'm in 2 Samuel. And over again, even just in that portion of Scripture, you have references to the angel of Yahweh. And this is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, called theologically a Christophany. Moreover, you have many references to the Spirit. I think of a psalm that I quote very diligently in my own prayer life. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Grant a willing spirit to sustain me. So we have references in Scripture to the Holy Spirit, who dwelt mightily in the patriarchs. And so again, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are revealed in the Old Testament, but we see all of this in much fuller form, a much clearer perspective after we read the didactics, the teaching epistles of the New Testament. Good question, Carrie. Let's take one more Facebook question, and I'll go right back to our live callers. This question is from another Carrie. It's spelt different. The first one is C-A-R-R-I-E. This one is C-A-R-E-Y. Carrie asks, when a person has long-term chronic illness that leaves them bedbound and isolated, what does the Bible say about how that person can have joy and live a meaningful life in this mortal life here and now, not just in the immortal one to come, with such suffering and isolation? Well, you know what suffering does? It produces perseverance. I often wonder how Paul can say he wanted to have fellowship with Christ in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow or other to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Through suffering, we come to a true valuation of things. Love C.S. Lewis at this point, where he says that pain and suffering is God's megaphone to a deaf world. So often we can lean upon the arm of flesh. A dear friend of mine called me today in a long conversation with her on the phone, And she talked about the fact that I was such a strong man. And what she meant was I had a strong constitution physically and spiritually and mentally. And that was a very a kind comment from her. But she was making that comment for a purpose. She was saying to me that when you are like that, it is so hard to just lay in the omnipotent hand of a loving God, trusting Him. I watched my dad go through incredible suffering, and I saw the impact it not only had on my life, but on the lives of others as well. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Frank in a Canadian listener, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Frank.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Great. Thanks for taking my call, and God bless your ministry, and I appreciate all the answers that you've given me, Clarence, to in the past. But I do have a bit of a disagreement with you that I would like to talk to you about.
Sure.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
And that's with the Revelation 12, because you started out the show with no more prophecies have to be fulfilled, which you're kind of right. I guess he doesn't have to fulfill any prophecies. But I feel with 100% conviction that the Holy Bible is 100% real and true, and God doesn't lie to us. And there's just way too many things pointing to September 23rd, 2017 this year with the Revelation 12 sign in the skies right now. And I'm screaming at the loudest possible voices I can, trying to awaken people and show them, like, I am so convicted and believe 100, like, I'll be that biblical bumpkin that you guys like to call. But I'll put my craziness and everything, I believe it's going to happen. I just don't understand with Daniel chapter 12, verse 4 through 9, he's talking about, you know, the times will be sealed up until, where is it? Sorry.
You know, here's the problem. I'm running out of time before we come to a station break. Look, I've been through this over and over again, ad nauseum, ad infinitum, and I write about this in Has God Spoken and many other places as well. There are date setters, people who are setting dates, and one thing that they all have in common is that they're 100% wrong 100% of the time. And this has been consistent. The biblical prophets, they were attested to by their prophecies. What they actually said did in fact come to pass. And so we can trust those prophets. But the one track record that is beyond dispute is that today's modern day prophets have been wrong every single time. I mean, you remember the prophets that were so clearly communicating that a terminal day was 2000 or a terminal day. I mean, they used to say when Israel became a nation, 1948, they'd add 40 to that and then subtract 7. So you'd have 1981. That was the day. And then they'd have the idea of 2007, subtract 7. And 2000 became the day, and then they started fudging around with how long a generation was. Bottom line, every one of them was wrong. And I can tell you, dear brother, that you are 100% wrong on your particular prophecy craze as well. We'll be right back with a quote of the day and more answers.
For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense. And we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, is a valuable and practical resource for every Christian who wants to know that his or her faith makes sense and who wants to engage with seekers and skeptics based on the solid evidence of their faith. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer Books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Christianity is on trial. Skeptics and critics set out to poke and prod followers of the Lord Jesus into thinking they believe in fairy tales. Tragically, many Christians are unprepared for the battle, and they surrender truth to flimsy and lame arguments. What is at stake? C.S. Lewis said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. To develop a clear, evidence-based faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, read J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith. A homicide detective makes the case for a more reasonable, evidential Christian faith." To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. "If there is one gift I wish to give you," says J. Warner Wallace, "it is the certainty that comes with loving and knowing the truth and developing a forensic faith." Wallace's latest book, Forensic Faith, will help Christians know what they believe, why they believe, and in whom they believe in order to stand in the battle for life and truth. Christianity is on trial, and the stakes are of eternal importance. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. And the quote of the day comes from St. John Climacus. I was rereading the Ladder of Divine Ascent, and I was captivated by his admonition to follow the narrow path, which means, in part, a willingness to endure. And here is the quote of the day: endure dishonor, sneers, derision, insults, the cutting out of one's own will, patience in annoyances, unmurmuring endurance of scorn, disregard of insults, and the habit, when wronged, of bearing it sturdily, when slandered, of not being indignant, when humiliated, not to be angry, when condemned, to be humble. Blessed are those who follow the way we have just described, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I love John Climacus, and I love the Ladder of Divine Ascent. My chrismated name is John, after John Climacus, and I read and reread that book, and it really helps me order my life around the divine. I want to say something just a little further. I wasn't able to find it in my book, Has God Spoken, and didn't have time to read it, even if I had found it before the break. But this whole thing of setting dates, I mean, it is something that has been done ad nauseum, ad infinitum. And I remember writing these very words about Jack Van Impe. This was a long time ago, because I'm mentioning the day 2012. In his view, what you had to do was add 52, because now a generation is no longer 40 years, it's 52 years. They kept ratcheting that up because the dates didn't work out. And now we've moved to 1967, the Six-Day War and the capture of Jerusalem. And so, says Van Impe, you add 52 to 1967 and you come out pretty close to 2018, 2019. But now you have to subtract 7 years from that, he says, and we're talking about 2012. And then he finds confirmation in the Mayan calendar. He says the Mayan calendar ends December 21st, 2012. It's all there, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I wrote this. Of one thing we can be certain, December 21, 2012 will come and go as one more in a long litany of failed prophecies. Now, I wrote that long before this date came about, but I said that with certainty, because he is using not only a false reading of Scripture, but he's pretending to know the future. And now we have this craze that the caller was talking about, which is a wash on the internet, September 23, 2017, alleged astronomical signs in the heavens in which the sun will be in Virgo constellation, as well as the moon at the Virgin's feet, and Jupiter will also be, you can make a song out of this, will also be in Virgo, as Venus, Mars, and Mercury will be in the constellation of Leo. And all of that next to the constellation of Virgo, and all of this is supposedly a fulfillment of Revelation 12, 1 through 2. Well, first of all, this is exposing an utter inability to read the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. By the way, the 12th chapter of Revelation starts the second book of Revelation. Really, what you have is two books in one. But what does Revelation tell us? It tells us about things that will soon take place. Who are the letters addressed to? They're addressed to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. And we're told they're going to suffer, but be faithful. They're going to suffer for a short time. Your vindication is going to be an everlasting vindication. So the book of Revelation is about the things that are soon to take place. Now, soon and near can only with literary obstruction be meant to mean anything other than that, particularly in the prologue of John's letter. And he's doing the same thing that all the biblical writers do. He's writing to people in his epoch of time. I mean, who did Romans... who was Romans addressed to? Well, it was addressed to Roman believers in a first century epic. Who was Corinthians addressed to? Well, Corinthian believers. Who was Revelation? Well, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. So what we need to do is read the text in the sense in which it's intended. The text is not telling us about what is going to happen in the 21st century. It's talking about what will happen and what will happen and how the response of what will happen to the believers in the seven churches of Asia has dramatic impact on us today. So Revelation wasn't written to us. Romans wasn't written to us. Neither was Corinthians. It was written for us. And we ought to be aware of that distinction. In my book, I point out that biblical prophecy is not designed to help us pale pin the tail on the Antichrist or to pinpoint a future tribulation. Prophetic stars in the constellation of biblical prophecy are powerful proofs that God has spoken, that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, as God himself put it. I told you these things long ago. Before they happened, I announced them to you so that you would not say, my idols did them. My wooden image, my metal god ordained them. Or as Jesus so poignantly put it, I have told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe. So counterfeit prophecy stars have one thing in common. I said this before the break. It bears repeating. They're consistently wrong. In illumined contrast, genuine prophecy stars are infallibly correct. And unlike the pretenders, their prophetic prowess cannot be pawned off to good luck, good guessing, or deliberate deceit. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ed in Nashville, Tennessee, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Ed.
Hello. Yes, I have a question, Hank, about the origin of the struggle that Israel has with the land in the Middle East and the origin of the battle between the land for the land in Israel.
Well, you know, I just did a symposium about a year ago in the West Bank, and when I was doing that symposium, I was talking about this very thing. There are theological fault lines that run through the landscape of not only Zionism, but what predates Zionism, Christian Zionism. One of them is that there is this idea in the minds of people that the promises God made to Abraham were not fulfilled. Well, if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you know that that is patently wrong. All the promises God made to Abraham were fulfilled. Not one of them failed. And Joshua not only says this multiple times, but think about this. These are his fading words on his deathbed. So all the promises God made to Abraham have been fulfilled. The modern Zionist notion is that somehow or other you have to establish a modern state of Israel, because if you do not, then you find Abraham's promises, at least the promises God made to Abraham, unfulfilled. In fact, the idea is that Israel is to not only have Gaza and Golan Heights and the West Bank, but a territory at least 30 times as large as what it now occupies. So many other parts of the Middle East as well. That is the presupposition, but it is based again on the faulty notion that God's promises were not fulfilled. But there's a second and very important theological fault line, and that is the notion that God has two distinct people with two distinct plans necessitating two distinct phases of the second coming, a secret coming, i.e. rapture, and then a second coming that happens 7 years later after a great tribulation. And then you have a thousand-year semi-golden a reign of Jesus Christ, semi-golden in the sense that there's sin in the world, and you have the ultimate apostasy that takes place at the end of it, and Christ presides over a temple with renewed temple sacrifices, animal sacrifices that atone for sin. Well, all of this is misguided because God does not have two people. He has always only had one people, true Israel. So Rahab is true Israel, Canaanite. Ruth is true Israel, a Moabite. Those who left in the mixed multitude in the exile, in the Exodus, I should say, they were a mixed multitude because it was not only Israelites, but those who believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and not Pharaoh and his gods. And many other examples could be given. We have only one chosen people, and to go back to the temple or to go back to the sacrifices or the land and somehow or other make that sacrosanct, that's simply misguided. What does Paul say about that? He says, if your mother is the Jerusalem below, you are yet in bondage. You're like Hagar. But if your hope is in the Jerusalem above, then you're free because the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. The point being, salient and profound, we do not want to go back to types and shadows when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come. And who, after all, is the seed of Abraham? Paul says the seed of Abraham is one. Not many, but one. Jesus. He's the royal seed of Abraham. And then he says, if you're in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham, whether you're Jew or you're Greek, whether you're a slave or you're free, whether you're male or you're female. Why? Because it isn't a function of gender or genealogy. And it certainly isn't a function of whether you're Greek or Jewish. It is a function of whether you are found in Christ. And if you are, you're an heir according to the promise. Much more could be said. I've laid all of this out in detail, including, let me finish that thought, in my book, The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. Also, I've written about, you know, one of the callers was asked about Daniel and bringing Daniel up. The misperceptions of the book of Daniel make my mind go into a spin motion. It just causes me to be unnerved. What I try to do, and has God spoken, is lay out Daniel so you can really understand what's going on in Daniel. And by the way, if you really want to understand the culmination of the Old Testament Antichrist, read Maccabees 1, 2, and 3. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Lifespan broadcast. Thanks to all of you that stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and the battle for truth. I cannot do what I do without you. Together we're a team, and we're making a difference.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you a copy of J. Warner Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith: A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. For multitudes of young people raised in a secular culture, the Christian faith makes little sense, and we're losing millions of younger Christians because they haven't been equipped to make sense of their faith in a world increasingly hostile to Christianity. In short, many young Christians lack what J. Warner Wallace calls forensic faith. Christianity has a rich evidential history, and as followers of Christ, we must learn to make the case for what we believe. Wallace's new book, Forensic Faith, A Homicide Detective Makes the Case for a More Reasonable Evidential Christian Faith, will equip you with the tools necessary to become an effective Christian casemaker. To receive your copy of Forensic Faith as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.